All right, everybody.
Welcome, everybody, to the show Life's a Banquet, the show that's edible, spreadable, and Zara.
Horrible.
Starring your hosts, me, Brenton Scott, and
me, Zara Tangora.
A show about ostriches, wine, and dough.
I'm drunk.
Always. Life's a banquet, life's a banquet, life's a banquet, banquet.
We both make big hand gestures.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Italian. I talk with my hands.
Are you there?
Are you there?
God, it's me, Margaret.
Hi, it's me, Breton.
What episode is this?
11. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
11 human episodes?
Welcome. Wait, you should do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, how crazy. Welcome to Life's a Banquet, the podcast about the highs and lows of all things edible, spreadable, and Breton.
Horrible.
With your hosts, Brenton Scott and...
Brenton Scott?
And...
Zara Tangora?
Yes, that's right. There's two Brentons and a Zara.
All right.
Okay, everybody.
I need a tambourine.
Oh, I have one.
Do you really?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Hey! Okay, here we are. Life's a Bank with a podcast.
Yeah. All right. Bye. All right. We don't have anything to talk about today.
Turn of the month here, August, summer 2018. It is as the downers of New York say, it's almost over. Oh, the heat.
I know.
Oh, I can't stand the
summer
heat.
Summer sale. Everything must go. Got to get rid of all these, thongs.
Back to school basics.
Yeah. I hate, there's something about back to school, even though I'm not in school, that still gets me like really depressed when it's like August or even the middle of July, and then all of a sudden you're like back to school, and I'm like, no, there's some kind of PTSD.
Mom's like, you gotta get that new Trapper Keeper.
Ooh,
yeah, I just dated myself.
I love a Trapper Keeper though.
I heard they're coming back.
Really? With the Choco Tacos and the Totino's
Choco
Rolls?
Choco Tacos. Did I tell you that I want this week is Choco Tacos?
You did tell me, you told us all last week, except we were drunk. I only remember because I listened to our episode.
Well, my drunk ideas take a little bit longer to materialize.
I love a Choco Taco.
Choco Tacos. Okay, so here's what you need for a Choco Taco. You need a chocolate dipped waffle shell that is shaped like a taco.
Okay, and then you need some choco.
Yeah, so you have to dip the inside has to be painted with some chocolate.
Ooh!
No, because you don't want to see it. It's on the outside. It's a surprise. Then it must be filled with some type of sweet cream ice cream. I think it's just regular.
It's like vanilla.
Yeah, it's vanilla. Yeah, vanilla processed ice cream.
It's like those ice creams that came in like Chipwiches and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of ice cream, but it's kind of not. It's somewhere between like a frozen whipped cream and ice cream.
Yes, I think my tastes have matured with me, and I would like a high quality ice cream.
Agreed. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say I wouldn't mind hazelnut.
Oh, I wouldn't mind it at all.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, I'd welcome it. I'd hold up a sign at the airport for it saying hazelnut. Come with me.
So then, what else? Crushed peanuts, right?
Yeah.
Or you could do crushed hazelnuts.
Let's
get a John Doe. Choco Taco.
A lot of different tacos come in Choco.
Mm-hmm. What else?
Well, we had a barbecue this week.
Oh, barbecue.
We had a fabulous barbecue. I think you were there. I can't remember.
I was at your barbecue.
And I know you were
octopus.
There. Octopusy.
Some
of the best corn.
Very, very
that
delicious.
Corn. It was like dictionary corn. If you look up corn in the dictionary, and the most beautiful golden kernel slathered in butter.
Oh, it was bi corn, super trendy.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know, I'm gender fluid corn. I'm like, I have two colors and it doesn't matter because I'm sweet. It was delicious.
We're definitely offending some people, but I think that's very funny.
No, I like bi corn is what I'm saying.
I like bi corn too.
Bicolor corn is very delicious and classic spatchcock chicken, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a spatchcock chicken, Breton, for those listeners out there who've never spatchcocked anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why this podcast is so dirty.
You mean why it's, we're so immature and
I know.
Can't say a word. like spatchcock.
We're in our 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
Just for anyone out there who thinks it's two 15-year-olds like talking about farts and cocks. While they're trying to have a food history podcast. But anyway, spatchcock chicken, you cut the backbone out.
Mm-hmm. You take a scissors.
I snip it right out.
I remember when I first made it a few many years back, remember thinking, oh God, spatchcock, it just sounds hard.
You walked right into that one.
It sounds hard. Speaking of spatchcock, did you ever watch the Patrick Stewart where he has the chicken video and he narrates this?
No.
It's like, it's supposed to be 50 Shades of Grey or something.
Oh, really? But like Patrick Stewart or...
Yeah, Patrick Stewart.
Oh, okay. Sir Patrick Stewart?
Sir Patrick Stewart.
Got it. No, I haven't seen it.
Well, it is very good.
Okay.
Yeah. My friend Jillian, I think, helped on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's fun.
So, spatchcock chicken.
Okay. Yes, I did that. We made, I don't know, probably for like 22 people, I think.
Oh, wait, we never told people what it was. You take the backbone out.
You take the backbone out and kind of butterfly it, but like the reverse way.
Yeah. So, you're cooking a whole chicken.
Yeah. It's kind of like if it looks like what a cat looks like when it jumps off like a really tall building and it just like sticks its like arms and legs out to kind of fly,
mm-hmm.
but in chicken form.
Yeah.
And you grill it.
Much like a flying squirrel would look like.
Exactly. Yes. And except it's chicken.
Yeah. Except it's chicken. Okay. And it could be squirrel.
Yeah. You can spatchcock anything.
Yeah. Do you think you could spatchcock a human?
Of course.
That's fun.
100%.
Not that I was thinking about it. I was just thinking of somebody.
I can't get the image out of my head, actually. No.
That's weird. No, but if like, aliens came down and they're like, oh, there's humans are delicious.
And they'll be like, Brett and Zara, we heard you have some great suggestions.
Well, we have
how
a recipe.
How could we cook this human?
Oh my gosh. And we would be the ones that survive. Be like, well, here's, oh, we would be terrible. This is really.
It's gotten really bad. So we did spatchcock chicken. It wasn't hard and it was easy.
And it was very tender.
It was very tender. And then I made ribs with mm-hmm. kind of like a dry rib. So not like a dry saucy rub.
Yeah, yeah.
A dry rib rub.
But definitely fall off the bone.
Fall off the bone. They were delicious. I had brined them in harissa, actually.
Brined them in harissa, a little salt. And then you cooked them very long, right?
I cooked them a long time. So I did a harissa in my actual brine, which a brine is always like salt and sugar. And then other mm-hmm. savories. Mm-hmm. So I added a ton of harissa to that. And then I marinated them in a little bit of extra harissa. And then I slow roasted them in the oven for like 6 hours at 200. And then I threw them on the grill to get them nice and charred. And then I kept them warm in the oven. So these things have been through it all.
Well, they were.
Yeah, they're like, please just eat us already. Jesus Christ.
Wash us down with some bicorn.
So it was good. We had a really nice time. Beautiful summer stuff.
That was a wonderful summer meal.
It was fun. My Uncle Blackie made some wine,
mm-hmm.
and it was delicious, and I chugged it wine. Practically out of the bottle because I was so excited that he had made wine. My Uncle Blackie's like just the coolest guy anyway, and he's like, hey, made some homemade wine. Yeah. It's an Opus 1 blend. I was like, this is amazing. And, you know, family parties can be kind of tense, and there was like my family's actually awesome, so they're never tense, but there was a thing we were celebrating that was like high pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Turned out to be amazing, but I was still definitely on the mode of like guzzling. So I guzzle all this homemade wine, and
when you're stressed out, you tend to use alcohol to soothe your feelings and emotions.
Totally. Alcohol and, you know, heroin and cocaine.
Yeah. All of the
meth. No, just homemade wine.
No, I'm just taking a couple notes here.
Oh.
That's okay. And would you say when you do drink, you get angry, sad, or...
Horny, usually.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. All right. Oh.
Which was kinda awkward at the family party.
All right.
Usually so I just spatchcock a chicken.
Let's talk about...
All right, enough of that, Brent. What
about
my
visit to Chinatown?
Yes!
Okay,
let's hear
Monday,
about it.
Every Monday, I go to Chinatown. I go to Noodle Village. Shocking.
The best.
And Noodle Village is on Mott Street in Chinatown in New York City, and it is my favorite restaurant for many reasons.
It's really good.
They don't, every time I'm in there, they pretend like they've never seen me before. I know that for sure. I've been there at least 100 times now.
Yeah.
And that's a lot in 2 years.
It's a lot of times.
But it's very affordable. The service is always good. There's a couple people that remember me. The maitre d' asked me if it was my first time 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I said, my first time? I said, I screamed at her one time. I'm a nice guy. I didn't scream at her.
I remember
it was a
this
long
time.
Story. I was trying. Yeah. Anyway, I love you. This is not. I'm not an irate customer. We had. In fact, we spoke to each other.
Yeah, in high voices.
And I spoke as if I were speaking in a different dialect. That
right.
Was English.
Yes.
And it was English. Okay. So I've been away. Monday we go to Chinatown. We go to Noodle Village, and I always walk around, and I love because I learn something new every time. And I just discovered this last week, there was a new melon that I've never seen. It's all of a sudden you're walking down the street right in Chinatown.
Oh.
And you just walk and suddenly you turn your eyes and there's some man with sunglasses holding an 18-inch cleaver cutting a 2-foot melon.
Yeah.
And where did that come from, and he's slicing it and displaying it.
It's really cool.
Everything's $2.99 a pound.
Yeah.
Often 2 for $4. We got some passion fruits and some jackfruit.
Nice.
And then we got, I'll show you the mystery vegetable of the week.
Oh, I can't wait.
Mystery vegetable / spice of the week.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, that was a really fun, wonderful visit to Chinatown.
That's awesome. I love Chinatown. I really do. It's like, we were just mentioning this to each other yesterday, but we'll share it with you, dear listeners, how it's fascinating that like this is a part of New York that we've both lived. I mean, we've both lived in New York for what, over 15 years?
Yes.
Each?
I'm almost at 15 years.
And how many times in 15 years have you gone to Chinatown? I mean, hundreds and hundreds of times.
I have a new saying. Maybe thousands. I have a new saying that, because I live in Brooklyn, I say, I don't go above Chinatown. It used to say like, I don't go above 23rd Street. Or,
exactly.
I don't go above 14th Street. I don't go above Chinatown.
I love Chinatown. I do go above it and below it, but I mostly like to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's awesome. But it's really cool how you can have gone to a neighborhood so many times and it's still fascinating and new. You still learn things every time you go there. There's all these gorgeous, beautiful things everywhere you go.
I forgot to tell you, I was trying to find fresh pandan.
Okay.
Which is that it's a Southeast Asian herb that I can't describe the taste. It tastes like Captain Crunch or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very unique flavor. Anyway, pandan. And instead, we found a Malaysian pancake place, and they make pandan pancakes.
No!
Pandan pancakes.
Did you try one?
Yeah, and inside is sweet corn with ground sweet peanut, and it's folded in half.
I'm going to murder you right now.
And
I'm so jealous.
I have to say, I was a little skeptical. I thought, well, you know, let me try this Malaysian street food. Okay. And the woman was very nice. I asked her many questions, and she just kept answering pandan. I said, do you have fresh pandan here? And she said, oh, pandan. I said, no, it was fine. There was a language barrier.
Right.
So I just ate it, and it was delicious.
Oh, my
God. We'll
go
there. It was a
wonderful
treat.
Where is it?
It's on, I think, Pell Street.
Okay.
So anyway, that was a wonderful, wonderful treat.
Oh, how fun.
Oh, it was a blast.
That's amazing.
And I sat next to a little sign called Gay Lou.
I saw that on Instagram.
Gay Lou, yeah. I was eating a Malaysian pandan pancake in front of Gay Lou.
If only your name was Lou.
Yeah. That is just the it just, folks, it does not, sometimes it just doesn't get any better than
That's
present
true.
Moment.
That's true.
Well, I made some cantaloupe sorbet yesterday. Well, if you recall, I had the double ass-shaped cantaloupe.
We remember.
And as it turns out, if you've been following the story, I apparently thought I was in the right for getting it for $4. And Preston, after a while, said, that was 2 cantaloupes. You should have paid $8. Well, that cantaloupe got me through 5 breakfasts. Cantaloupe and cottage cheese. I'm on a diet.
Nice.
It's August.
Well, you look fantastic.
Yeah. And by diet, I mean it's just part of my diet.
Darling, what have you been doing? Are you on a cantaloupe and cocaine diet?
Cantaloupe and cocaine. It's all the rage. Adderall and... So cantaloupe, lots of breakfasts.
Yeah.
And I decided with the other fourth of the half, which was still, they're very
the
each
other
half
cheek.
And you can watch my video, and I tell you how to.
Your video is everything.
We have
to
our
me.
Secret video that we will.
It's very dirty.
If you go on our Patreon page and donate $1, we'll give you this video.
Please do.
It's how I disassemble and core a cantaloupe.
You must core your cantaloupe when they're connected.
The cantaloupe sorbet turned out wonderful. I had it last night.
What did you do with it? Like, can you tell us the ingredients?
Well, I did 685 grams of cantaloupe.
Okay.
And then to that, I added 65 grams of a sugar and honey syrup. And then I added an additional 30 grams of corn syrup, naturally.
Oh, wow. Okay.
A pinch of salt, 1.5 tablespoons of lime juice, and I put it in my automatic Cuisinart ice cream maker.
Nice.
You know, if I had to do it over again... So the problem with making sorbet at home, as everybody knows, is crystallization.
Yes.
And we will get into this in a whole thing. But crystallization occurs because you're freezing and there's some... Oh, I added some water to it, of course.
Okay.
So that means the water inside your mixture freezes, duh, because it's water.
Yeah.
And it turns into ice crystals because, of course, it's water, and it creates a icy texture.
Yeah, and that's not
And that's not good when you're trying to eat ice cream and sorbet. There's stabilizers, and there's other ways of doing it. You could throw a shot of vodka in there.
Yeah, I've always used, when I'm making sorbet, I always use liquor.
Mm-hmm. I was going to put vodka in, I didn't have any. And then I was going to put rum in, and I drank it.
Oh, Breton.
Then I was going to put Cointreau in, and I realized I need to save that for next week's margaritas. And
life is hard,
life
right?
Life is tough, I know. Folks.
God, problems.
Anyway, what else?
Don't kvetch.
No.
What's... Don't you kvetch about the
cantaloupe. Don't you start with me.
No kvetching over the cantaloupe, Breton. Mm-hmm. So that sounds good.
Yeah.
I wish that you would save me a bite.
Right, I have...
Every time you make something, you tell me how delicious it is. You want to get it right now? We'll try it?
Yeah, I'll pause.
Okay,
and I'll
pause.
Make some cantaloupe sorbet.
You know what I mean?
Okay, cheers.
Cheers.
I came back with a scoop of cantaloupe sorbet and a bonus Pacifico. Because you know what, in the summer, what I realized?
What?
Sometimes I just like to have one beer in the afternoon and maybe.
And then like four gin martinis at night.
And 16 martinis later. That way I just feel better about myself.
Totally.
I made this little sorbet and we're about to try it.
It looks amazing.
It's very frozen. And remember, I'm going to tell everybody something when you make ice cream and sorbet, because it is summer and you should absolutely be doing it. And if you have a very cold freezer, you do need to temper your ice cream. And if you remember from our ice episode?
Yeah.
I think I talked about, you can go ahead and listen to it right
just
now.
Just re-listen
okay,
to it.
Okay, you're back. It's been an hour. Remember that frozen things, it's okay to leave them out at room temperature for 10, 15 minutes.
Totally.
It actually helps them and it's easier to scoop. So when, you know, dad brings out the ice cream and he's like digging with all his might, just let the ice cream chill out for 10 minutes.
Take it out of the freezer like 10 minutes before you want to eat it.
Yeah.
Instead of just
test
being
your patience.
Starving and like, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Take 36 deep breaths.
I had a happy accident the other day involving fruit, frozen fruit to be specific. My refrigerator is on the fritz, as some of yours may also be, because it's summertime and it gets kind of
piping hot.
And then it gets too cold and it's hot. So I had a bunch of delicious nectarines that were in the back of the fridge and I went and bit into one and it was frozen and I was at first very irritated.
Yeah. Oh gosh. I spent $5 a pound at the farmer's market.
Exactly. A frozen nectarine. I'm going to kill somebody. So I didn't, because you know what I realized? I enjoyed it. My urge to kill went down immediately.
Yeah, skip the middleman. You didn't even skip the sorbet.
Exactly. It really, but in all seriousness, it was actually like eating a nectarine sorbet. It was amazing.
Well, what the? Okay.
And now I'm throwing them in the freezer on purpose, and then I let them defrost a little bit, and they're delicious.
A nectarine semifreddo?
Yeah. All you have to do is just put it in the freezer.
That sounds absolutely delightful.
And you know what? If you have a nectarine, if you buy too many, or you have one that like kind of gets bruised on the way home, friend just burped.
No,
from a beer,
I didn't.
But like,
I have a Pacifico.
Like surprised himself. Can I try the sorbet?
Mm-hmm.
Is it tempered enough?
Oh, it kind of fell apart.
Oh.
Pat.
Oh.
It's actually a granita. I'm so sorry.
Mmm. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. It tastes like a cantaloupe. Do you ever notice when people eat sorbet?
Wow.
They say, oh, my gosh,
really
this
good.
Tastes like raspberries.
Yeah.
Because
it's made from a raspberry,
it's
a ding dong.
100%.
Mmm.
It just needs to be tempered.
Mm-hmm. Mmm.
It's so cold. It tastes like a freezing cold cantaloupe.
I'm telling you, put the cantaloupe in the freezer.
Yeah.
Next time, you can throw your ice cream maker out the window.
That's right. Okay.
This is very good, though.
So, yeah, just treat yourself. Have a little scoop of... I think
absolutely.
It should be really good.
Ooh!
Oh, my gosh.
Brain freeze! That's our name of our new band.
Brain freeze.
We are Brain Freeze. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Fuck you, Brooklyn!
Okay.
This episode is going off the rails, but in a good way.
Well, I'm going to talk about something that we don't talk about a lot.
Okay.
And it's our very own nuts. Who's Kevin? My personal assistant?
No, that book. We need to talk about Kevin.
Oh, yeah.
And the kid's like a psychopath.
I have a personal
killer.
Assistant named Kevin.
Oh, really?
I thought you were talking about that.
No. I'm picturing it like, you ever seen the episode of Seinfeld where Kramer gets a personal assistant for Kramerica Enterprises? And like, they end up like dropping a giant ball of oil on Jerry's girlfriend. But one of their big projects is getting ketchup and mustard in the same bottle, which is what I could picture you and Kevin doing.
Yeah, Kevin's working
what
on
kind
a
of
lot
stuff
of
do you and Kevin do together currently?
Right now, Kevin's just working on consulting and just perhaps I think the big goal this year is efficiency.
Okay.
And so and cost reduction.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so everything is we want more efficiency, want bigger, better, stronger, faster.
Uh-huh.
That's definitely the, for the last quarter of 2018 and I want quicker.
Okay.
Not just bigger. I want quicker.
And faster.
And faster.
And stronger.
Yeah, because quicker is a little bit different than faster.
Right. Right. You had mentioned that you were working on a chicken skin, a gluten-free chicken skin noodle. Mm-hmm. Is that like still coming together? Or?
Yeah. The company should be up and running. Probably all of Whole Foods will be purchasing
it. Amazing.
If I ever get a meeting with
and
them.
And Kevin's mm-hmm. doing the taste testing on that?
Yes. He's doing all the recipe
testing. Is that why
testing.
He had a heart attack last week?
Well, you know, chicken noodle... Chicken skin noodles were not meant to be eaten all the time. I decided to talk about something. I called my dad.
Okay.
And I listened to our last episode, the martini episode, and it reminded me of the story about my grandmother.
My parents, you know, Nanny Bobby, my parents, you know, they were really raised in, they were Depression era people, and they were raised in poverty. And even that extended during World War II, into the 40s and even the early 50s. They literally did dumpster diving and just were raised like a litter of puppies.
Mm-hmm.
And about hickory nuts.
Oh.
And so I wanted to talk about the other nuts of Native America.
Wow.
Wait, Native America. Our own...
North America?
Our Nord...
No, America Nord.
The cantaloupe sorbet is freezing my tongue. I can barely speak.
When you said Native America, we need to leave this in. I think it's funny.
The Native nuts.
I didn't even, like, I knew something sounded wrong, but mm-hmm. I couldn't tell what exactly.
Well, for those of you that don't know, it was hickory nuts. Hickory nuts are Native, is what I meant to say.
Okay,
too
fair
much
enough.
Of the Appalachian Mountains,
okay,
the East Coast. The Midwest, and I think they go far down as North Florida and Georgia. And there's several varieties of the hickory tree, but probably if you're around those regions I just mentioned, then shagbark hickory is probably what you notice. And all I was trying to think about, I thought about barbecue.
Okay.
And we were talking about barbecue sauce, and then I was thinking, gosh, what's the most famous barbecue sauce? There must be a really good story. And really the only two barbecue sauces I could think of were Sweet Baby Ray's.
Mm-hmm.
And KC Masterpiece. Now, KC Masterpiece was invented in 1977 by some dude. And it was the most boring story. He's like, just like, oh, I want to make a great sauce. And he sold it and then became famous. And then Sweet Baby Ray's is from Chicago.
Is that the white one?
That is the white one, exactly. Neither of which I'm a fan of.
I don't like bottled barbecue sauce at all.
I don't do barbecue sauce.
But when I was a kid, when we used to live with my grandparents and... I was definitely like not attended to as much as most small toddlers should be. So I would sneak into the refrigerator and I have very distinct memories of taking raw hot dogs and dipping them into mm-hmm. a bottle yep. of barbecue sauce and sneaking like hot dogs. And so now that I've told the story, I'm fully aware I'll never find another boyfriend. That's fine. I'd rather be honest than in love.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? Ladies. Men. She's taking wieners and dipping them in sauce.
Ladies, men, bicolored corns. Yeah, bicolored. Pay attention.
Pay attention. She likes to dip long things in sauce. Okay. So, first of all, barbecue. Okay, let's talk about the basics of barbecue sauce before we get back to hickory nuts. Barbecue sauce is a sweet and sour sauce, right?
Yes.
This falls into the category. It's often very sweet. There's usually some molasses mm-hmm. or some brown sugar. There's some tomato paste. There is, what else? Some vinegar.
Vinegar.
What else do you put in a barbecue
Herbs and spices,
herbs
of course.
And spices.
Natural flavoring.
Yeah. Casey's not going to give out his math.
I mean, cumin, paprika.
Exactly. But it's usually a tomato-based sweet sauce.
Yeah.
And what?
Oh, my God. An earthquake just happened in Brooklyn. Wow. Jeez, that was terrifying. I'm glad we lived.
So, yeah. So, that's that. So, it made me thinking of how... in America, we associate the barbecue with the American thing, right?
Right, right.
And hickory. Hickory, yeah. Smoked meat.
Of course, hickory
I does. Found out, and for those of you that don't know, because I am not a barbecue expert, but in general, now North Carolinians think that, oh, barbecue should be pork. Because our ancestors, and I don't mean the ones that originally inhabited North America, but more the Christopher Columbus kind of person.
Right, not the Native Americans.
Yeah, came over from Spain, and they called it barbacoa.
The Spaniards.
And they probably came up for the South, and they interjected with some of the Caribbeans who were cooking. You know, pigs were cheap back then, and swine was cheap. And this is, I mean, who knows, like 1600s,
1492.
1300s. I'm saying, like, people were barbecuing for a long time. Slow cooking a meat over an open fire.
I mean, honestly, since caveman times. It's like the oldest form of cooking.
Barbecue.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, we call it sauce in America.
Right. So, we think barbecue is always has to do with, like, a sweet sauce. Mm-hmm. I see where you're going. We're trying to, like, re-put our minds around what barbecue actually is.
Yeah.
It's really just
But it was actually
grilling.
Brought over from many immigrants and Spaniards and all kinds of...
And the Native Americans.
Native Americans.
And Native America.
Now, the Native Americans used to use hickory nuts to make milk,
okay,
among other things. I mean, first of all, hickory is a hardwood. Now, a hickory nut, if you decide to become a hickory nut farmer after you listen to this podcast, you should know that the first fruit, if you want to open an orchard, it takes 20 years after you plant a hickory nut tree.
Oh, wow. So our baby listeners are maybe the ones who could benefit most
of
this.
So here I'm thinking, I go, gosh, why are we not having more hickory nuts first of all, to crack open. So I grew up in Wisconsin.
Okay.
In case I've heard. Said that 100,000 times.
No, we should keep remembering.
Sorry, they were all living in northern Wisconsin, right?
Well,
Southern.
Southeast Wisconsin, all the while. And they would harvest, you know, the wild asparagus, early asparagus in spring, and of course, apples and berries. And one of my favorites of what they did was nuts, especially hickory nuts. Because I recall, I mean, even as my earliest memories, maybe on a Sunday on a nice early fall day, and a beautiful fall day, you'd go out and on some country roads and look for the hickory nut, the shagbark hickory nut, that tree that has that
that's what we
flake like shaggy bark. And
there's a lot of hickory nuts there, and you pick them, they fall off sometime around September, and maybe end of September, early October, and they fall off. They're about the size of a small golf ball, and they kind of split open in fours. And so they're this green pod, and it uniformly splits open, and inside is a tiny little nut.
They would go and go on the country roads, and then you'd find a tree to pull over, and the roads weren't crowded in those days. You know, you'd rarely see another car go by.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would, these hickory nuts would be on the ground. And of course, critters love them. If you didn't time it right, the squirrels and the chipmunks and the mice would get them. Deer, of course, eat them. But you could pick these hickory nuts off the ground, and then my father, and then when I got a little older, we would climb up the trees, and then you'd kind of jump up and down and stomp on the branches, and a shower of these hickory nuts would come down.
They always said, like, hard as a hickory nut, you know, like, I don't know.
Like, if you're like a hard-headed person?
I think they refer to Andrew Jackson as being hard-headed. Hard as a hickory nut.
Oh.
Because you have to take a hammer to get those things open.
Really?
And then, yes. And then after you take the hammer to get them open, the nut will just gracefully fall out after all this effort. No. You have to take a nut pick.
What?
And you have to take a nut pick. And it's very painstaking. I'm sure there is some machinery now if we had it.
Yeah.
It is, you know, it's not an easy nut to pick.
That's not.
This ain't no.
It's a hard nut to crack.
That's a hard nut to crack.
As they say. Now, Breton, can I ask you a question?
here we go.
So it begins. Zara's had half a beer, and she's just obsessed with asking Breton questions. Have you ever eaten a hickory nut?
Mm. I grew up, my grandparents used to collect the hickory nuts, as you just heard in the story.
Yeah.
Up until I'll still go gather hickory nuts. They're delicious.
What does it taste like?
It tastes like a hickory nut.
Well,
it tastes.
Excuse me.
It tastes. Well, it is. I believe it's related to a walnut.
Okay.
And if my information is wrong, well, then screw you.
Yeah.
And go look it up yourself.
Do your own Hickory Nut podcast.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm too busy running around the city to be doing history lessons.
Exactly.
No, I think it's related to the walnut, and it has that tannic thing that a walnut has.
Okay.
But it is strong. When people say, like, oh, it's really nutty, like a nutty cheese,
right.
I think of hickory nuts. It's, it's a little bit more intensified, drier tasting, and it's robust.
Ooh.
The sweet meat of a hickory nut. And my grandparents used to make chocolate chip cookies. And here's the thing. Here's the thing about hickory nuts.
Okay.
You'll think you get every last little particle in, and you'll be eating this wonderful chocolate chip cookie, and suddenly you're like, and you hit it with your teeth, and it's hard. I mean, I've never cracked a tooth.
Yeah.
The shell is so hard, though, and sometimes those shells would be mixed in with a nut, and those are the ones that will break a filling or a cusp of your tooth.
Of your gold incisor that you had. But you could.
You could, yeah. That sounds very dangerous.
Now, if you want to skip the nut part and just make hickory nut milk, which was used by Algonquin Indians, apparently, and Cherokees, and it's they were making the first nut milks.
So yeah.
You crack the nuts. You don't have to crack them open, but you can kind of smash them.
Yeah.
And then it's one part nuts to three parts water. So go ahead, get ready for your harvest this fall, and you boil those for a little while, and then you strain them, and then out comes the hickory nut milk.
Whoa.
And that's what my grandmother used to do, and my father will tell you all about it.
That's amazing. What did the Native Americans, is there any writings about what they would use the hickory nut milk in?
Well, they use it a lot for hominy and cornbread, and they almost use it as apparently there was a system where they would shove the nuts in there and beat them inside of a log to make a pulp.
What the hell? That's amazing.
You can use the substance to spread on their early cornbread.
Oh my
so
God.
So cornbread and honey butter was already,
yum.
Yeah. So all this stuff has been, as you can see,
yeah, that's
I don't know.
Really
I like
chill.
To know, be like, oh, cornbread, biscuits and butter. Like, where
of
do you
course.
Think all this came from?
Definitely not from dumb, boring ass white people. That's for sure.
No, it was a mixture of European and Native Americans.
Oh, so it
right?
was dumb, boring white people and
yes.
and interesting Native Americans.
Well, I think it was a collaborative effort.
Right.
Everybody took it to the next thing. But So I found out that the name hickory was actually from the word pacachicora, classic. So pacachicora. Chicora hickory.
What's pacachicora?
I don't know. That was the name they had for hickory. The
Native
the
Americans?
Algonquin. Yeah,
that's
I think
so cool.
it was Algonquin.
Wow.
And it was from somewhere in Virginia.
Amazing.
So that, and I personally don't know a lot about Native American history, though I am learning through this wonderful medium of food.
No,
you can.
It's crazy that we don't know more. We should have really been educated more about it in school.
So the other nuts that they're my personal favorite are black walnuts.
Ooh, they're everywhere.
Black walnuts are everywhere.
We encounter them all the time. My mom has a tree in her yard.
Your mother has the tree in her backyard.
I didn't even know what they were. I thought they were tiny limes.
Well, so.
Just kidding.
Black walnuts, the Latin name for that is Juglans nigra.
Okay.
And that is, again, it's a type of walnut. It's darker, and it is very different than the thin-shelled English walnut. That's the walnut that we most commonly associate with Christmas time and shelling walnuts around
it. Sissy walnuts. These walnuts are for real.
And the black walnuts, they're on the ground, and usually you don't get them very well off trees. They don't seem to... black walnut trees are harder to climb, and you pick them off the ground, and they have that meaty, pungent husk, and with a lot of tannins in it, it stains your hand.
These are black walnuts, and there's some couple really cool things you can do with these.
Like what?
What can you
do with a black walnut?
Well, you can put it in your chocolate chip cookies and have the most divine chocolate chip cookies ever. You could put it in fudge.
Fudge?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. When's the last time you had a chunk of fudge?
In Mackinac Island in Michigan.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What was the year?
I stayed at the Grand Hotel, and it was the year 1990. And it was fabulous. And I
sounds like
rode
you need more fudge.
And I was in a pool. I took this little acting class. My dad was for a medical conference.
Okay.
Doctor's kid.
Yeah.
Oh, Breton will take the...
Breton will have fun swimming in the pool and eating fudge.
We had this wonderful acting teacher. It was probably his summer job, and he taught children's theater. And we were in this pool, and I was riding, there was like a pool horsey, you know, like a floaty horsey. And it had a head, and this girl pulled it under her, and I was like, where did it go? And then she popped it back up, and it hit in between, it hit my nuts. This is the story.
Your testicles or your black walnuts?
It hit my black walnuts, and I had some serious damage, and I had a bruising all on my inner thighs. And I was 12, and I was so embarrassed.
Oh my God.
I was so embarrassed. I did not want to show everybody, so I was limping. It hurt so bad. And my dad said, what's wrong? And I said, oh, I think I just stubbed my toe or something.
Oh, my God. That's terrible. Where did the fudge come in, though?
Well, so Mackinac Island is in Michigan, which you should absolutely go see it. And there's no cars. So you ride around on bicycle or horse carriage. And anyway, so they're known for their fudge. And, of course, you know what? I was thinking about today, and I said, when's the last time I made fudge? And I realized...
Never?
Never.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
I like peanut butter fudge.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about the fudge. Yeah, that's right. She'd put them in fudge. Every now and then, you'd get a little bit of that super hard hickory shell in there, and it's so hard. And
it is very hard.
I think at least once, and perhaps more than once, I've broken a filling off from...
So it is a risky.
This is a common experience people have.
Well, so I started researching fudge recipes because that's what one does on a Tuesday morning, and I noticed so many fudge recipes called for marshmallows melted.
What the hell?
With a bunch of brown sugar and maybe some cocoa and whatever flavors you want. I mean, you can have any kind of fudge.
Sure.
I like a traditional. Basically, what fudge is a sugar caramelized with some chocolate.
Right.
Or other flavorings. So basically, you know, you take nearly 3 cups sugar, and then you can add some chocolate. You say like 4 ounces of chocolate. It could be unsweetened. It could be not sweetened, depending you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then some milk. And then you bring that to a sweet little temperature of 234 degrees Fahrenheit on your nearest candy thermometer.
Amazing. You just have a fudge recipe in your mind.
Well, you know, I like to... That was kind of funny. It was like 685 grams of...
I know!
No, but anyway, so you do this. Of course, there's some butter in there. And then you just set it. So
you set it.
To that,
it.
You could add your cup of black walnuts.
Oh my God, that sounds delicious.
Or hickory nuts. Please? And it is divine. Oh, we're going to do it this fall.
Let's make fudge.
Stay tuned. So black walnuts are very unique because when you... You can do two things, like I said. Well, many other things. But in the beginning of the season, before the nut becomes mature and it's still soft, you can pick those green little things. And the Italians have that thing called nocino.
Oh, okay. And that's made from black walnuts.
Yeah, black walnuts. And you can make that at home very easily. You cut the walnuts in half. You harvest them in early June. And you cut them in half. And you can soak them in Everclear or a strong-proof vodka.
That's awesome.
And then you wait a year.
That's really awesome.
Simply put it in your closet.
We should make that with the walnuts that are in my mom's house.
We'll do it next June. Okay. I forgot to do it this summer because I was too busy working in the Hamptons. So then at the end of the season, when the walnuts mature, the black walnuts, you can't just pluck them.
Okay.
Now they're going to come out and they're going to look like a tennis ball.
Oh, wow. That big?
They're big. And they smell like the most wonderfully fragrant. The green outside smells almost like orange zest mixed with some evergreen, and it's just delightful.
Oh,
and
fabulous.
If you try to scrape it with your hands, it'll stain your hands an iodine brown or orange, and it will get in your clothes and never come out. It'll never wash out. So what you have to do is you have to put it on a rooftop or something or dry it out for about 2 months.
Okay.
All these things are very easy.
No, but in your spare time, between your 9-to-5 job, go collect the walnuts. Don't touch them with your bare hands.
I guarantee you, Martha Stewart is drying some black walnuts as we speak.
Of course she is. She has more hours in the day than other people.
And so should you.
Yeah.
So if you can't do it, just ask your neighbor or your neighbor's children and give them a project. Anyway, so that's the third, you know, and then the other nut is chestnuts.
I love chestnuts. My grandma Violet... who was my mom's mom who immigrated here from Yugoslavia, she loved chestnuts. And I personally don't have the patience for chestnuts. I will only use them really if I buy them already peeled.
Yeah.
But every Thanksgiving, she would peel them with her grandma hands. And it was just like there's something so in my mind and heart that like every time I think of chestnuts,
they're
I think of my grandma.
They're very popular in Italy and southern and other parts of Europe. And, well... America used to be just covered in chestnut trees. It was the really? It was all over the Appalachian forest. And at the turn of the century, a fungus came over, and it was called the Great Chestnut Blight.
No!
Of America.
That's terrible.
It decimated almost all of the trees.
A fungus among us?
Yeah. And the thing is, people relied on chestnuts. Not only all these nut trees that I said also make beautiful wood, cabinetry.
Yeah.
And musical instruments. Yeah. Right? Chestnut. It's gorgeous. They're wonderful hardwoods that are super sustainable and they last forever. And of course, apparently I read somewhere that, you know, chestnut trees have been around for 40 million years. And
wow.
And this fungus ruined them all almost in 40 years.
That's really crazy. That's
so around
awful.
Like early, you know, like 1904, 1907, it reaches New York. And by 1950, almost all the trees are gone.
Do we have no chestnut trees anymore?
Well, there are. There's some other, there's American chestnuts. And then they, you know, there's the other ones that have those like really pretty. They look similar.
Yeah.
But they're different.
What kind of wood is your piano made out of? Do you know?
I don't know. It's probably something.
Imagine it's chestnut. It's like the last chestnut piano. It's worth like $10 million.
Yeah. I don't think an Asian Yamaha piano is made from chestnut. But it could be. Actually, yeah. It could be.
Who knows? Well, I think this is very, very interesting. As you all know, I'm a nut lover and a nut guzzler. I love nuts.
She loves wieners and nuts.
I love
it's true, folks.
Hey, if anybody wants to give me a call, my number is 917-555-5552.
Never give your number out on
but
public
radio.
But
I do love nuts. I eat a lot of almond butter. I love pistachios. I love hazelnuts. But, you know, and obviously people are almond obsessed now, which causes a huge issue in California because it takes a gallon of water to grow one almond.
That's what they're telling us.
Yeah. And the water situation is pretty bad in California, lots of droughts. So here we are just like packing our mouths full of almonds. I'm guilty as charged. And we could be packing our bellies full of black walnuts and hickory nuts and chestnuts.
They're very hard to, again, they require a lot more labor.
Okay. So
there's a reason that almonds and English walnuts and all these things became.
And peanuts.
Yeah, peanuts. They're just eatable. Peanuts are different than tree nuts.
Right. Well, a peanut is a legume, right?
A peanut. Oh, sorry. That sounds weird.
Oh, no,
there was actually.
There's people outside the window.
There was a little girl outside staring at me.
She's staring at us in like a way where she looks like she's trying to look through us into our souls. She is cute.
Summer camp. She's our new upstairs neighbor. So I guess I would say that just to remember that this all stemmed from my visit to Chinatown because there is just a world of everything. And I thought, isn't that weird how typical we go about our everyday lives? And we just say, oh, you know, we get, what is it? Like almonds, walnuts, or pistachios or something, right? And that's just it. And oh, stops there. And there is just a whole world out there.
Breton, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure, of course. No problem. No worries. Okay, can I just... Go ahead. I have a question.
Will you go first?
Well, I said no worries.
Okay.
And I wanted to take this moment to talk about the epidemic that has taken over all of customer service.
Okay.
This is a PSA from Breton Scott.
Okay.
And do you remember a long time ago when I used to work for... when I worked... for Zara, and I would tell the staff, I would say, hey, everybody, I was managing the front of the house, and I said, you know, when you talk to guests and customers, try not to ever use a negative. Try not to say, you know, if you said, hey, can I get, you know, can I have that without butter? Don't just say no. Said, you know what, if you don't like butter, I would try this salad.
Right.
Try to redirect people. And then I would also say,
if you
say,
don't like butter, try this stack of paper towels.
Have you ever had a paper towel? Just crumple it up, shove it in your mouth. And shut the fuck up. No
problem. Perfect.
No problem.
You're not being negative.
And so what I said was, and everybody, when people would say no problem, no worries, it is an epidemic across customer service right now. People don't even notice it.
Interesting.
I started saying as a joke, and I'm not trying to say that everything's wrong, but I used to say, when somebody says, hey, can I get a glass of water? And they're like, sure, no worries. And I think, but I wasn't worried.
Right.
So
now you're putting two negatives, no and worries.
No worries. And then, or no problem. Like, hey, could I get some more ketchup? No problem. I said, but there was never a problem.
Yeah, there was never
a problem. The problem is you didn't bring me enough.
The problem is that I love ketchup and you're not pouring it into my mouth.
And I was talking to the director of Forbes is the, they kind of create the standards for service in hotels.
Yes.
They're kind of, you know, like 5 stars, 4 stars. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to the director of Forbes and he said,
excuse me,
very hard to get the new generation to stop saying no worries.
Yeah.
He said they're saying all over the world, no worries.
No worries. No worries is actually very passive aggressive. Oh, no worries. It's like, really? Because you seem like you hate me right now.
Yeah, no worries.
No worries is what you say to someone when you're like, I wish I could just like smack you right across your stupid face.
Here's when you can say no worries. Let's say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, Zara. I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to put that there. Then you could say, yeah, no worries.
Exactly.
In a different tone. And
maybe you should say some worries.
Just have a few. Do you remember the worry people? Those little boxes of... Never mind. There were little boxes of things popular in the 80s.
Yeah, I do.
The worry people.
The tiny little people that would go in the box.
Take these people. Here, no worries. Take these worry people. Excuse me, waiter. It seemed like you were really worried because you kept saying no worries. So actually you were projecting on me. So what I did was I got you this box of worry people that you could use when you go to your service station when you're wondering what to do with your life. And between your auditions. That sounds really mean. I can't believe I just said that.
No, it's fine. I think it's funny. My question to
back to me.
What's the situation with a water chestnut? What do we know? Is it a nut? Is it growing water?
No, it's a marsh vegetable.
A marsh vegetable?
Yes.
A marsh vegetable?
Yeah, much like a lily pad.
Oh, no. That reminds me of frogs, which is fine with me. I don't hate them at all. Okay, interesting. So what are your top three things to make with these? Should that be your top three of this week?
Well, I guess I would say nuts, right?
Okay.
When to use nuts and when not to use nuts.
The age-old question.
I am a nuts always kind of a guy.
Me too.
And let me tell you, here's what I like to do with nuts.
Please.
Well, first of all...
I'm sorry. I don't know what's wrong with me. I have a problem with my brain.
Well, let me go back to page 2 when I was taking notes, and I have deduced the information of what's wrong with you.
Okay. Oh, right.
So, let's see. We're going to start with bipolar number 2, but I wasn't sure because it could be number 3. Okay, no. I love nuts for certain things. Okay. Chocolate hazelnut?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
Banana bread, pecans, or walnuts? I've switched to pecans.
I'm all about walnuts and banana bread.
I like both.
I like a pecan. I made banana bread for my dad one of the last times I went down there because I would just go cook for him and he was like so psyched to just have my food. And so I made him a banana bread with the things he had in his house, which weren't always very healthy things.
With dates.
Exactly. Well, I made them with Cheetos and Stouffer's macaroni and cheese.
But I called it banana bread, so it didn't matter.
I covered it in bananas. No. So he had like honey roasted pecans, like some kind of really like very high fat sugar thing. And I put them in the banana bread and it was absolutely delicious.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah, it was very good.
Well, I have a little secret.
Yes.
And when I make my chicken salad... and Bobby, if you're listening, it's not going to compete with your charcuterie chicken salad. It's the classic. I like the classic chicken salad.
I do too.
Different with the grapes and the walnuts.
Mm-hmm. Waldorf.
Waldorf, right? But I started doing spiced sweetened pecans.
Ooh.
Caramel. You know, I put them in the oven with some brown sugar and some butter and some cinnamon.
In the chicken salad?
In the chicken salad. And I put the brown
salad
butter.
Baiting.
Put the brown butter into the chicken salad and I stir it in. And it is... divine, folks.
Wow, that sounds really good.
It's called Breton's Chicken Salad.
Breton's Chicken Salad.
We're just, Zara and I are future commercial writers. We just are exploring that.
Email us at Life's Banquet
Podcast. So that's a good use of pecans. Pets.com. Today, for example, I've got in, now I've been experimenting, back to what I'm doing.
Yes, please.
Now, I have been working on this pastry crust.
Okay.
The one from Stella Park's Brave Tart cookbook, which I don't have the cookbook yet.
Is this
Shame
what you made the
me.
Peach ham pies from?
Yes.
That was one of the best pie crusts I've ever had.
Well, I modified it a little bit.
Okay.
And I did the same technique, but I made some changes.
Okay.
So it's not done yet. I just kept everything much colder and I did freeze everything.
Okay.
And then I used ice water.
Okay.
And it was different. So we'll see what happens. And I substituted 1/4 cup pastry flour for the regular flour.
Okay.
Or a fourth of it, rather. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm doing a pistachio and apricot tart.
Oh, my God.
Now, classic combination, apparently.
Yeah.
And
very Sicilian.
Apricots are all over the place.
They're
right
all
now.
The rage.
peaches, nectarines, stone fruit, plums, Santa Rosa, like you name it, you've got it. Anyway,
stone fruit.
So I'm going to assemble that later tomorrow morning. So it's all ready to go. So the pistachio, apricot, that's a good one. What else?
About what to use with nuts?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, actually, when I was thinking about what my top three things to make with nuts would be, I really like chestnuts in a stuffing. That's kind of my family.
Oh, we're getting ready for Thanksgiving It is August.
Chestnut stuffing is absolutely phenomenal. I also like a chestnut cream where you just whip together some chestnuts and some sugar and a little bit of cream.
Do you know that? Remember that recipe from Mad Hatter?
Oh, Mad Hatter?
Mad Hatter.
The Mad Hatter or
Mad Hatter? The Mad Hatter, Mad Hatter.
My dad loved Mad Hatter.
And it's it's the Vesuvia. It's the whipped chestnut. It's a whipped cream.
Yeah, I think that's probably where I've had this from. Yeah. So I like that. And then I really love chestnut flour pasta.
Pasta.
When, you know, people ask me, because I guess I'm known for my pasta making, you know, in Italian food or whatever, that's been my big thing.
Yep.
So, you know, people would always ask, and they still do in catering things, they would always ask at the restaurant, do you do gluten-free pasta? To which I would turn my nose up very high in the air and say, don't ever talk to me again. No, I don't make gluten-free pasta. But chestnut flour pasta is a horse of a different color, because that's gluten-free and it's absolutely delicious. I love
it. So apparently you do like gluten-free.
Well, when I feel like it only. Not on demand. What do I look like?
So
those are my three things that I really like. I haven't really used black walnuts at all or hickory nuts, so I can't speak to that.
I found shelled black walnuts available in a bag. In a bag?
In a bag?
In a bag. At Sahadi's.
Oh, really?
Sahadi's
Sahadi's.
It's a wonderful store on Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn, in Cobble Hill. We've mentioned it before.
Any spice or pickled vegetable, olive, nut.
Yeah, you name it.
Candy.
You got it.
Definitely the source for all your malted milk ball needs.
Malted milk balls, dried fruits, pepitas, you got it. Lots of flowers, bulk items.
Dried
mango.
You can
get a huge bag of sesame seeds. Like 1.5 pound bag of sesame seeds for $2 or $3.
You can get a quart of hummus there for like a nickel.
Yeah. You can get a 5 gallon drum of a halva for who knows how much.
I'm going to say something right now to the person out there in the world who came across a 10-pound thing of beautiful, delicious halva that I bought for my cousin's wedding that somehow never got put out and is now missing in the world. Please contact me, Life's a Banquet.
It was in Bed-Stuy.
Life's a Banquet podcast at pets.com. Send us an email.
So I would say we'll leave you. Well, are we ready to leave?
No, I have so much more to say about nuts.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Let's go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I want to know. Okay. So we have our top three things. Your top three things.
Oh, my gosh. We haven't got to our.
I've given you my top three, and I'm understanding it, even though you didn't number them. I'm understanding your top three things to make with nuts are banana bread.
Mm-hmm.
And what else? Chocolate chip cookies.
And a hazelnut de quoi.
Classic. Okay.
Which a hazelnut de quoi is much more complicated than it sounds. It's just whipped egg. It's a meringue with hazelnuts.
Right. And so it makes kind of like a foamy sheet cake, right? Mm-hmm.
If you put that layer of de quoi between your thighs. I'm sorry. Between the two layers of cake. Whoa. A wackadoodle.
Bread.
If you put that between the cake, then it is just delicious and crunchy.
Oh,
and it
so it's... Wait, it is like a sponge.
It's a de quoi.
Okay, so it's crunchy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yeah, it's crunchy.
Okay.
So I think...
That sounds amazing. So those are your top three things. Now, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Breton, can I ask you a question? So here I am. I'm going to the market. I've bought 10 pounds of chestnuts. I brought them home.
You have.
I roasted them. How do I go about... Oh, okay. So here's the wrench I wanted to throw in it. Uh-huh. I cut them on top. I make a little X on the top. I roast them in the oven.
Good. Yep.
And then I found out that when I peel them, I've roasted them a little bit too long and they're like pretty dry and hard to get out of the shell. What is something that I could do with them to kind of salvage the project?
They're hard and they're still in the shell.
Yeah. You know, when you roast them, you like maybe a little too long and they're kind of like mealy and they like are stuck in their shells and they're giving you a really hard time and you're like, fuck these chestnuts.
Mm-hmm.
Any suggestions on like how to save your chestnut
making?
Well,
you know, that has not happened to me. My assistant usually roasts them perfectly.
Oh, right. Kevin.
Kevin usually does them
perfectly. He's been peeling chestnuts
but
for like 2 months.
I would say I would probably throw them in some like hot water, like steam a little bit.
Okay.
Get some moisture back in there.
That's a good idea.
What would you do?
This sounds like
this happened to you.
Well, it has happened to me many times, actually. I was going to say something similar. Like to
overcooked chestnuts are not a roadblock.
Exactly.
They are
they're not a stop sign. They're a challenge. Oh, hello, chestnuts. I appreciate you. I appreciate your presence mm-hmm. in my world.
Thank you for teaching me patience and loving and understanding and flexibility.
Absolutely. Well, I was going to say that you could throw them in some water with some sugar and kind of like boil them down to make like a chestnut like flavored syrup and
even
then strain
better.
It.
Even better, yeah.
Because that can happen sometimes. Chestnuts, you know, when you're least expecting it, just come back and say, not today, Tangora. Yeah. I'm not coming out of my shell for you or anybody.
And you spent 23 minutes drawing X's in a weird...
Exactly. You cut your fingertip off.
In a fruit nut tree.
I know. It's crazy. Do you use chestnuts ever when you're cooking?
I made stuffing once, and last year, remember, I roasted them, and then I was going to make that dessert, and I...
Oh, right. They just festered away in the corner.
They weren't right. There was something about him.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, something about Mary. So,
anywhere that you recommend this week for places to check out and go eat or drink or shout outs you want to give?
That Malaysian place, I can't remember it. Hold on. You know what my recommendation this week is?
Yes, what?
Well, I thought, you know, we're always trying to find the newest and latest and greatest thing. And I found such simplicity. And I did get some cheese from DiPaolo's, some of my favorite mozzarella cheese in the entire
world. Smoked mozzarella?
We got regular and smoked.
Is it here right now?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I didn't offer you any. Exactly.
Good to know.
Proof. The hint is taken. Thank you. I realized that simplicity is that, and that I don't... This is, again, I think we talked about this last week. This is the time of year, and you just... You know, it's hot and I don't want to overeat. And I want to turn my oven.
Yeah.
And last night for dinner, we just had some smoked mozzarella with some sliced tomatoes. I didn't even have any bread.
That's nice.
And I wrapped it in basil leaves.
Ooh.
And I made little tiny, like rolled up basil leaves.
That's cute.
And it was delicious.
How wonderful.
And I felt great when I woke up and I wasn't overfed.
That sounds great.
I lost 16 pounds.
Oh my God. I was going to say, you look anorexically skinny today.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
You're welcome. I would like to shout out a place that you and Preston and I went last week because we were martini crazed after
Sam's.
Brent and I had done the martini episode last week, and I think we both just spent the rest of the week. I mean, we always drink martinis, so I don't know that this was much of a difference, but it was. We had martinis on the mind and old school things. We just wanted to do all that kind of stuff. So we went to Sam's Pizza, which mm-hmm. is actually next to my old restaurant, Brucey, in Cobble Hill on Court Street. For some reason, I never went there when we had Brucey.
Neither did I.
I don't know why.
Because it's too close.
It wasn't just that. I also had like a wrong perception of it. And I didn't actually think that the food would be good. I'm sorry to say, even though it's an old school place and whatever. So I was chatting with Peter Shelsky, who you'll remember from our Bagels and Lox episode a couple months back. And we shoot the shit about food really every time I go in there. What's your favorite this or what's your favorite that? I really trust his opinion. He's a great guy and he has great taste. And he said that he thought Sam's was some of the best pizza in all of New York City. And I was like, I can't believe that. So I went in with Preston, your boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
a couple days later and we split a pizza. And it is some of the best pizza I've had in New York. I got to be honest with you.
It was delicious.
So we went last week.
It's a classic giant round New York pie.
Yeah.
With a good amount of cheese.
Yeah.
A good amount of cheese.
It's light though. Like the pie itself is light. Like it's a light, crispy.
It was fabulous. The interior of that restaurant is of what old Brooklyn movies are made out of.
Yeah.
And they kind of covered it up a little bit. You know, it's very large.
Yeah.
They have a back dining room. The first time, remember when I went in the middle of the day, I was checking it out and I walked in and some mysterious gentleman from the back room
some
out of shadow.
Polite gentleman, I'm sure.
It was very Godfather. I was like, how can I help you? I was like, I was talking about your pizza. He'd be like, get the fuck out of here. Like, do you owe me money? And I said, yes, I do, actually. If I walk in, I'm sure if you met me, I'll probably owe you $10,000 and give it a year. And it's just the way I work.
I mean, it's a cool interior. It would be really fun to... we were both saying that it'd be great to redo it a little bit. Just give it a little cute facelift.
A little judge. They have the original old wooden phone booths in there.
I know.
Checkered tablecloths.
Just a little buffing. You know what I mean? Like in a Disney movie where all of a sudden like there's a star wipe goes across and it's like everything is twinkling now. Yeah. The princess is in the building.
A gay man like me walked in and be like, okay, everybody, let's just let me put on my...
5 minutes later, it's like the most amazing place ever.
Well, I put some fuchsias out front. I just thought those would give it some pizzazz. Now, out in the back, you'll notice some coleus. I noticed there was some shade, so I didn't want to give it too much flair. Now, you do understand.
It's very fabulous. So, Lou, if you're listening, please holler at us. But the pizza was amazing.
Pizza's great.
It's very, very good. And a martini. It was just like a fun experience. I really like it there, and I want to become more of a regular there.
My shout-outs this week are nectarines, plums, and peaches, and go get yourself some of those.
Get stoned.
Get stoned.
On stone fruit.
Stone fruit.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes when we're doing this podcast, I really feel like the, you know, sweaty balls thing on a...
Yes.
I just feel like, are people listening to this and we're like, oh, and another thing you should get very excited about is stone fruit season. It's upon us.
It's delicious. Go get plums and peaches.
Go
that reminds me of those fabulous Santa Rosas I had once in 2013.
Oh.
I made them into a lovely tart mixed with apricots, I believe. I did once win a tart competition.
I bet you did. What did you make?
Well, it was when I worked at Franny's.
Okay.
And there was a very small, close-knit staff there. And all the chefs and all the waiters and everybody got together and said, we're going to have a tart bake-off.
Really?
So one Saturday, and even the people that didn't work that night came in, and my friend Vanessa will say that she won if she's listening.
Vanessa, but tell us the truth.
She made a galette.
Oh.
And it was a tart competition. Now, I'm sorry.
Vanessa.
I just think a galette's in a tart's a tart. I assumed when you say tart that you mean you're going to use a tart shell, tart pan. It's going to have some lovely fluting. It will be in the shape of a long, irregular rectangle, or perhaps a small...
A circle.
An 8-inch circle, perhaps a lovely, a larger square, something that looks like a tart with a removable bottom, of course.
Of course.
And I did peaches and plums. Glazed it with some apricot jam.
That's the only way to go. Any kind of cream in there?
I didn't do any cream. I wanted just the fruit.
Frangipane?
Yeah, just ain't no frangipane.
No frangipane?
No, because I said I'm making pistachio frangipane today.
Good God.
I don't know if that's...
So what if Vanessa... So Vanessa really won, but you
were
your own winner.
She had a gorgeous galette. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
We decided that we tied.
Okay.
But everybody knew that I won.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
What if everyone said, actually, that was the most disgusting thing, and we just
said that. There's probably a lot of your old coworkers listening right now at home yelling into their radios, being like, Brendan is a liar. They're going to be over here any second with torches and whatever those things are that the Grim Reaper carries. You're a liar!
So I was going to do Mystery Vegetable of the Week.
Do it!
Pause. All right, so here I have, in this classy, classic kind of bright red-orange Chinatown plastic bag, which will soon be
banned. Am I going to be blindfolded again? I loved that one.
Yeah, well, no, because I already told you what I was... This is... You can't really...
My eyes are still closed, though.
So
okay?
The gentleman that sold this to us, it was 2 pounds for $4, so this was $2 for this. We have a giant
It's Callaloo.
Callaloo.
Okay.
Callaloo, aka amaranth leaves. Now this leaf,
beautiful,
it's a leafy green, and I'm all about leafy greens, has a lovely magenta center, and then it kind of looks like a small spinach leaf, very thin. And
it was like an ASMR thing for people.
I like to chew with my mouth closed.
I don't.
Zara likes to chew with her mouth open.
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Listen, I was raised in a barn.
She was raised in a barn. Only child. Shouldn't have older brothers.
I do what I feel like.
Telling her to smack her on the head. Okay, so I haven't cooked this yet. I mean, today, obviously, because we're eating it raw. But I would probably just do a really easy saute with this, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to. I always said with greens, people are like, oh, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do?
Less is more.
Less is more.
Yeah. The less is more and the more you know.
And the more you know.
Dun, dun, dun,
yeah.
Dun.
Wait, that's confusing.
Well, it's up, that's up for our listeners to figure out. Mm-hmm. Because we don't want any dum-dums listening to this podcast, so get on the level, people.
So, again, this goes down to different things and different greens. Instead of spinach, everybody's like, oh, do you have a side of it? Isn't it just funny how Americans have chosen certain things? Not just Americans, a lot of people.
Yeah.
And we just decide that this is our regular thing. Every restaurant must have salmon and a side of spinach.
Right, every restaurant in Native America.
And it is just interesting to me that there are so many wonderful, beautiful things because life is truly a banquet.
It is a banquet.
And there's so many wonderful things. And I'm not, perhaps spinach won because it is really delicious. And
spinach is fabulous, yeah, but
just like, you know, maybe I like a roast chicken more than I like a guinea fowl or something.
Right.
But it is nice to vary up things.
Absolutely.
And once in a while have some amaranth greens or kalulu.
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 They have it a lot in Jamaican cooking.
The gentleman that served us was so incredible. He was the fastest vendor I've ever seen.
Really?
He grabbed the spinach in less than 4 seconds, had it weighed. I don't even know how he did it. He just grabbed it. He goes, he shoved it in a bag. He's like, $2. That was it. And then we were, he almost with his eyes pushed us out of the way.
Wow.
In a very nice way.
Yeah.
Kind of like, next. And that's, we didn't, amazing, even know what happened. And I said, this is the best. I wanted this guy to, I was like, let's hire him.
Yeah, right.
Just to be around.
He can be your new Kevin.
He's my
Kevin, you're out. Well, this guy, you're in.
Yeah. Hey,
Kevin's lazy anyway. I've been telling you for a long time to get rid of that Kevin.
I know. He hasn't responded.
We need to talk about him.
That's weird.
Yeah. That's strange.
Okay. He's still my assistant.
Yeah. Perfect. He's like, you stop paying me.
Mm-hmm.
So I found a new job.
Well, so that's that.
Great.
And that's this.
That was a nice episode. I really liked how, I mean, I know that you were saying that you felt like there wasn't a lot of nut meat to the nut meat, mm-hmm, episode, but I'm going to beg to differ because I think that, you know, we're all so used to the typical things where, you know, like you're saying, oh, peanuts, almonds, cashews.
As you know, nut meats are very high in healthy fats and protein and so it is a form of substance. In fact, probably our ancestors in the Stone Age days probably was a large part of their diet.
But it is cool to think outside the box and remember the kind of things, the other forgotten nuts of Native America.
Yes.
And also just a lot of, I mean, when you kind of dig deeper on it, the other forgotten things about North America in general and what, you know, our Native American, really the founders of this country for real.
I mean, there is some
beautiful,
and you know what, they said that actually originally the way that they would find land, especially in Dutch Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm,
was to go where the black walnut trees were.
Wow.
And that was a way to decide what was a good land, because they protected, well, it meant the land was fertile.
Yeah.
It meant that
totally.
It was a good guide as to where to set up shop.
Yeah.
You know, where you're going to put your house down. So,
yeah. It's just so, it's like, we don't realize, I mean, we realize, but we don't pay attention to it very often how kept we are today in so many ways. Just imagine like thinking about, oh, well, I have to go discover where to put my house because a certain tree is, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Now we're just like, oh my God, my realtor is so annoying. I'm trying to get a new apartment and it's just taking forever.
Gosh, I want this new IKEA composite wood bed.
Right.
I want a nice, can you imagine a Pennsylvania Dutch craftsman-made
farmhouse?
A cabinetry out of black walnut?
No.
Oh.
I mean, I can't imagine it.
That's gorgeous.
And now I'm going to need to go macerate some peaches just
thinking
about
it. Well, apparently that's how we're making America great again.
Are we making America great again?
I don't know. I'm still confused.
Yeah, the slogan doesn't seem to have any end piece to it other than racism.
Well, I like the idea of making, these wonderful things that we have in America. But I don't know if that's really what's happening.
I don't think that craftsmanship has any part of the slogan.
Yeah, unfortunately.
It's too bad. You know,
it should.
If the American Craftsmen Association, I don't know if that's a thing, they should have been the one to say to make America great again because of, you know, making nice cabinetry. Not bringing Nazi people out of the fringe,
maybe
out of the woodwork.
Too many
well, you know, say maybe there's too many people?
Support all the black walnut cabinetry. That's what I was.
Who are you working for anyway?
Wait a second.
Maybe there are too many people.
You know what?
Maybe there is something to this slogan. When we should make America great again, when there was nice cabinetry and chestnuts and walnuts and
and we were just
slaves. It was great.
We were enslaving decimating Native American populations. Yeah. That's our land now.
Yeah, it was great then.
Oh, wait, you can't understand? Just sign here. Yeah, that's right. It's a dollar, and that's your new currency.
Perfect.
Now, fork up.
Nobody lived past age 32 because there was no medicine. It was great.
Now,
let's do it again.
Let's give me those hickory nuts.
All right.
We're planting almonds. Okay, well, listen, have a fabulous week, everybody.
I loved your episode. You're funny and smart.
Just wonderful. Thank you so much. I just, you know, it's just a pleasure being around me.
I admire you. I'm sorry. I was looking in the mirror just now when I was saying that. You didn't realize there was a giant mirror behind you. All right, guys.
Peace out.
Hasta la pasta. Bye-bye.
Bye, client.
Would you say bye, client?
Did we get sued?
Yeah. We would get sued. What would we do? We would get sued, and then we'd be screwed.
If you had a nut, if you had a nut like a hickory nut, say you had a hickory nut like a black walnut. Throw your cashews in the garbage and your peanuts in the trash, cause it's a nut to eat. Da 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 da.
I came across a jar of almonds. I didn't know what to do.
It's a little loud.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody. Life is truly a banquet, because life is truly a banquet.
If I had a blanket, I'd be a pig.
I can hear you well.
Oh,
if you can hear me.
Mom's calling me, too. I wonder why she's calling me. Hold on 1 second. Hello?
Hello, Breton, you called?
Yeah, sorry, I'm talking to Dad on the other line.
Oh, you're talking to Dad?
Yeah. I'm interviewing him about...
Oh, right, about the nuts.
Yes, the nuts.
Okay.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Okay,
bye.
Love you too. Okay, Dad?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. That was Mom.
That was who?
Mom.
Oh, she called you?
I guess. She said, I don't know, she said, did you call? I said, no. Anyway, maybe I dialed by accident.
Her phone rang. Her phone rang simultaneously when FaceTime. We have
Oh, that's why it's on the same account.
Okay. But we linked them.
All of our episodes are recorded right here at Studio 54 at the heart of Fort Greene, Brooklyn. Our rock star, award-winning sound editor and producer is Christine Farrell. I'm Zara Tangora.
And I'm Breton Scott. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening.